Our Lady of Guadalupe, Queen of Mexico and Empress of the Americas, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, today's sermon story, you'd almost think it was just a story, because it includes an eagle who speaks and a picture on a robe that should have fallen apart, that cloak, centuries ago, but is still as fresh as the day that it appeared miraculously. And this is a picture which those who could not read could read and learn all about God's beautiful plan. Oh, it's a story, too, of roses that bloomed today in the winter out in the desert in a rocky, hard place. It's the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe. If you got in a car today and decided you wanted to visit where Our Lady appeared in America, you could drive all the way. You'd have to go to different states, and it would take a long time, and probably you should pack a lunch, too, to be on the safe side. And then you have to cross the border and go down into another country south of us called Mexico. But, I mean, it's the same land on which we stand today that the Blessed Mother came to almost 500 years ago. And there she appeared to a man whose Indian name, you know, Indians always have unusual names, whose Indian name was the Eagle Who Talks. And the priests, when he converted, baptized him Juan, or John, because Saint John is the eagle who soars into heaven for what he sees in heaven. And Saint John is the one who saw in his vision Our Lady as the woman who is clothed with the sun, the moon is at her feet, and there's stars around her head. Well, that's what Juan Diego saw that day. It was a Saturday, the day after the Immaculate Conception, and he was going to the Franciscan Fathers for Mass, and he saw a woman clothed with the sun in her background, and under her feet was the moon. She was stepping on it, and there were stars all around her. So he's going to Mass. It's early morning. And the Indians sort of ran. He was about 40 years old, and he was sort of running to church. Not that he was late, but just running to church, as that's what they did, a good quick way of getting there. And he hears music, not the usual birds that you might hear, but a beautiful music that was heavenly. And he stops, and he follows the source of the music up the hill, and there he sees the Blessed Mother, just as I've described to you, and just as you see her still today, we can by looking at her cloak that's still preserved today in Mexico City. And Our Lady speaks to him in a very sweet and a kindly way. Back then, those Indians, they would show their affection for each other and their respect, too, by using what we call a diminutive. And so he heard Our Lady call him, My littlest one, Juanito, little John, or Dieguito, little Diego. And he, in turn, called Our Lady, my little girl, because that was their way of showing their love for each other. And then Our Lady says, I want you to go to see the bishop, and I want you to tell him I want a church to be built here. And then she disappears, and he runs to Mexico City right away to obey Our Lady. And he has to wait all day to speak to the bishop. Bishops are usually rather busy, of course. And then, finally, at the end of the day, he's allowed in, and the bishop just listens, and he says, well, why don't you come back another time and tell me about it some more? That's called being diplomatic, because the bishop wasn't sure what he should do, because it seemed that the Indian was sincere, but it was quite a tall tale. He thought it was just a story when he first heard it. And so the next day, Our Lady appears to him again and sends him again back there to Mexico City, and it's a Sunday, and now he has to wait a really long time. And the servants are starting to get very rude to him. And at the end of the Sunday, finally, he's able to see the bishop, and this time the bishop says, well, bring me a sign, bring me a miracle of some kind. That's what usually a priest or a bishop would say to someone who sees Our Lady. Bring me a sign. And so he goes home, and that night, his uncle with whom he lives is sick. There's a kind of a plague, a terrible flu that's going around, and he has a terrible fever, and he spends all night nursing his uncle, and his uncle's not getting any better, so he thinks he better go get the priest to give him last rites. And so he's running to the Franciscan church, and he hears the music, and he knows Our Lady's on the top of the hill, but he doesn't want to run into her because he's in a hurry to get the priest for last rites for his uncle. So he takes a shortcut, a detour, to stay away from where Our Lady was. But of course, she's the Mother of God. She knows where we all are. And she's waiting for him. She's waiting for him down at the bottom of the hill. And she speaks to him very tenderly, and she says, "Don't worry, I know you're going after a priest, but I'll tell you what, I've already visited your uncle, and I healed him. He's going to be just fine. So don't worry about Uncle Juan Bernardo, but what I want you to do is, you climb up the hill here," they were on the other side of the hill, "and cut some roses. Bring those to the bishop. They're going to be a sign. So go ahead and cut them and then bring them to me." So he cuts the roses, and they're beautiful roses like they have in Spain, called Castilian roses, with beautiful fragrance. And he brings them to the Blessed Mother, and then Our Lady, she's the patroness of those who arrange flowers in churches, Our Lady with her own hands arranges the flowers in his cloak. And the cloak was kind of in the front, you know, and went down. So he holds the cloak up like this, and the Blessed Mother puts them in exactly the position that she wants them to be, just as people do when they're arranging a bouquet of flowers. And then she ties up the cloak here and here so the roses won't drop out. And she says, "Now on your way, go see the bishop." Well, this time, the servants are saying, "The third time for this crazy Indian? We've had enough of him." And they treat him very rudely, and they pretend they don't understand his language or what he's talking about. And he has to really wait a long, long time. And as they're passing him during the day, though, somebody smells the roses. And somebody else sneaks up and sees out of the corner of his eye some roses poking out from the cloak. And so they try to grab them, but when they try to grab them, they disappear. So they're frightened now, the servants are. They go to see the bishop and they tell him what they've seen and that he had better speak to the man. So the bishop comes down to see the man, Juan Diego, who's waiting in the waiting room. Doesn't even have him up to his office. He goes right down to see him. And as soon as Juan Diego sees the bishop, he stands up and he opens up his cloak and kneels down before the bishop, and all of the roses fall out. And he's in amazement because the bishop and all of his attendants have fallen on their knees and have a look of awe and surprise on their faces. Like that. I couldn't believe it. Because he's not seeing what they see. What are they seeing? Not just the roses that have tumbled on the floor, any which way, but now they are seeing Our Lady, just as he had seen her in each one of the five apparitions of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady's on the cloak, and that's the end of the apparition. Eventually, they took the cloak back out to the hill of Tepeyac, and they built, as Our Lady asked for, a chapel there. And Juan Diego had a humble little hut next door. And people came in their millions to read the book, because they couldn't read writing, as you and I have books and writing, but they could read the picture. And Our Lady stood in front of the sun, which means that she was more powerful than the sun god. And Our Lady had her feet over the moon, which means that she was more powerful than the moon god. And so forth. And the name that Our Lady told Juan Diego about was "She who crushes the head of the stone serpent." The stone serpent was the wicked devil of a god that the Aztecs worshipped. And every year they offered up about 20,000 people in bloody human sacrifice. Men, women, and children whom the Aztec warriors had captured, and they took them up to this altar and they ripped out their hearts, and it was a horrible, bloody affair. And Our Lady, by conquering Mexico for her son, stopped all of that. And so they knew the whole story, the Indians did. In about 7 years, 8 million Indians were converted and baptized. And then the numbers of the converts rose to about 30 million. It was the Blessed Mother herself who converted the whole of that land. Isn't that a wonderful story? And then the cloak just stayed there. It was made out of cactus. And usually, if you have a cloak made out of cactus, it doesn't last very long. And eventually, it just disintegrates. Much less, it had been in church without any glass to protect it for over 100 years. Many people had touched it, and they lit candles in front of the cloak, of course, for their shrines. And all of and there was incense in church. Nothing hurt it. It's a funny thing. When you look up the cloak, at the cloak very up close, it looks like Our Lady is white, like a Spanish woman. And if you look at the cloak from a distance, she has an olive complexion. She looks like an Indian. And you look up the cloak very, very close, they say, the detail is lost. But if you look at it at a distance, as most people do, you can still see the picture perfectly. So it's a living storybook, and it's a living miracle. In about 100 years ago, when the Masons and the Communists were persecuting the Catholic Church in Mexico, somebody planted a bomb in a bouquet of flowers, and it was put during Mass right under the picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the bomb went off, and nothing happened to the cloak or even the glass that was over it. The altar crucifix was all bent out of shape. But nothing happened to the cloak. It was miraculously protected. Well, that's the story of Our Lady, who is the Empress, the highest ruler of the Americas, children. And so it's not just a Mexican story. It's a story for all Americans, especially all American Catholics. It's a wonderful tale, but that's the nice thing about being a Catholic, isn't it? It's not a fairy tale. Someone didn't make it up. It's not a story someone would read to little children before going to bed at night. It's all the truth. So we must ask Our Lady, who is truly our sweet and our loving mother, who takes care of us always, we must ask her to rule over us and to be our empress so that she could bring about, finally, the rule of Christ the King. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.